a sprout, and a consciousness that is ascertaining, realizing the emptiness of inherent existence of a divine body are similar in that when, let's see, that reality which, when one has understood the meaning of the non-inherent existence of cyclic existence, when one has done that, and all true sufferings and true sources of suffering have been extinguished, that reality into which they have been extinguished is nirvana. Now, that's the sutra system. Then in the Sakya presentation, the reference of the equality of cyclic existence and nirvana is to viewing the impure aggregates, mental and physical aggregates and so forth, as as primordially existing as pure mental and physical aggregates, constituents, and so forth. So, as a basis four mandalas are presented, the four are identified as the channels of the body, the wind, letters, and drops. And these are viewed as the as entities of the four bodies of a Buddha. And then according to the thought of the great scholar Ludu Gyatso, one is viewing all of the phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana as having
sort of reflection as the
sport or reflection of the fundamental innate mind of clear light. Thus, what's being gotten down to here is the fundamental innate mind of clear light. Then in the Gugyu system, there is a practice of the four yogas, the first yoga being the one-pointedness of mind, the second being the that which is devoid of conceptual and dualistic elaborations, and those two are said to be common with the sutra system. In the first one, one-pointedness of mind, one is mainly achieving a calm abiding of the mind. And then with this state of being devoid of elaborations, one is mainly achieving special insight, realizing emptiness.
And then
the third yoga is the yoga of one taste. This can be considered to be a special, an advanced or enhanced type of special insight in which all of the phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana are viewed as having the one taste of the fundamental innate mind of clear light. And in this brings one to the mind of clear light and highest yoga tantra. So thus it's the same as what I was talking about before. And then when one advances in this practice, one arrives at the fourth yoga called the yoga of non-meditation. As Nagarjuna says in his five stages, when one arrives at the stage of union, there is no new path to be learned. So thus the thought is the same here as the yoga of non-meditation. Then, as it is said, the mind itself, or basic mind, is the... we have to make a difference between mind and basic mind, between sem and sem-ni, or mind and mind-ness. Mind-ness, or basic mind, is the innate truth body. That's the fundamental mind of clear life. Whether appearances are pure or impure, all of those pure and impure appearances are like waves of the truth body. They appear from the sphere of the truth body. This last one, this verse was had to do with the Mahamudra of Gagyu. Then, with regard to Geluk, if one asks whether these views that were just presented accord with the Madhyamaka view in general, no, they do not. But one could say they accord with the special Madhyamaka view of highest yoga tantra, which is concerned with the innate, undifferentiable bliss and emptiness. The union, the innate union of bliss and emptiness. On that level, they are the same. In Geluk teachings, in the sutra teachings, there's a lot of emphasis on...
Even in Geluk, in the sutra teachings,
and even in the tantra teachings, there's a lot of emphasis on the view as being the objective view, that which is viewed, the emptiness that is viewed. However, still in Geluk, there is description of this difference in view in terms of the subject. And similarly, in Geluk, it is said that all of the pure and impure phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana within being Within being the sport of emptiness, the object, are also to be viewed as the sport of the subject, the viewing consciousness, the innate mind of undifferentiable bliss and emptiness. As Nagarjuna says in his five stages in commentary on the Guhya Samaja system, the yogi, the yogi abides in the meditative stabilization himself or herself, which is like illusion. And similarly, The yogi himself or herself, while abiding in this meditative stabilization like illusion, views all phenomena as the same way, as the sport of this basic innate mind of undifferentiable bliss and emptiness.
I hope.
And then with respect to Dzogchen, the view of the great completeness, the mode of explanation is very different. But that which it's getting at, that which it's getting at is exactly the same. As my source for this, I mainly rely on Do Drupchen, Jingme Lingba.
Jingme Tenbenyima.
Why do I repeat it?
Really, great scholar. Great scholar as well as great practitioner. Oh, really remarkable. It's a remarkable yogi.
In the great completeness, the reference is to this fundamental innate mind of clear light. But the vocabulary used is that of ordinary consciousness. Now it's necessary to make a difference between sim and rikpa, or between mind and basic knowledge. Now, in the Nyingma system, highest yoga tantra itself is divided into three categories, Maha, Anu, and Ati Yoga. And then Ati Yoga itself is divided into three classes, the class of mind, the class of the great vastness, and the class of quintessential instructions.
Hmm.
Now, as the great Nyingma scholar Do Drukchen says, all of the practitioners of Highest Yoga Tantra Yoga in the new translation schools and in the old translation school are practicing just the fundamental innate mind of clear life.
Yinayang, ani zogjingi tangbune, or disha, yinayang sta, kasurish.
Now, he says, but there is the difference that in the other systems, in the beginning stages of practice, one makes use of many paths that involve conceptuality, using conceptuality to advance to this other state. Whereas in the great completeness, right from the very beginning,
not utilized. Not seeking help from Namdo.
One
just is right from the beginning, emphasis on the Rigpa.
One is not seeking to utilize at the beginning conceptuality, but puts the emphasis right from the beginning on the basic mind. Thus it is called a doctrine that is free from exertion. Because there is tremendous emphasis in the great completeness system on the fundamental innate mind of clear light, there also comes to be an uncommon presentation in the great completeness system of the two truths. These are called the special two truths. In this way, in a rough way, it could be said that that which is fundamental and innate is the ultimate truth. And anything that, relative to that, is adventitious is a conventional truth.
So, di chane, ta di kaso sik digita, kaso kwashitan digitane, nyungmal henshi jibo, luburue chweji tongbe, tongbasaji, samushitan yun du shendong rabuj koyung yare.
From this point of view, the fundamental innate mind of clear light is empty of all of all conventional truths of the adventitious phenomena, and thus this is an other emptiness, an emptiness of the other. However, this fundamental innate mind of clear light is said to have a nature of essential purity. Thus, it does not pass beyond the nature of the emptiness of inherent existence that is set forth in the middle wheel of the of Buddha's teaching. And the very last thing.
Shandong.
Shandong. So,
therefore,
because this other emptiness is set forth in a context of compatibility with the emptiness of inherent existence of the middle wheel of the teaching as it is in Madhyamaka, some scholars have called this a good other emptiness, whereas they have called a bad other emptiness a teaching of the Buddha nature or of the maybe fundamental innate mind of clear light, in which one looks down on the middle wheel of the teaching and advocates that the fundamental innate mind of clear light does inherently exist. That would be a bad other emptiness.
Thus,
many scholars from all of the schools of Tibetan Buddhism, Nyingma, Gagyu, Sakya, Gelu, have specifically refuted the presentation of some sort of final truth that is itself inherently existent, and a presentation that looks down on the emptiness of inherent existence that is taught in the Madhyamaka system as some sort of lower teaching, calling this a self-emptiness that is something to be looked down upon. And that sort of teaching is unsuitable. As is said in the oral transmission from the great adept Kenzei Chögyalhotra?
Yes.
The presentation of the levels of the path that are put forth in the Nyingma system are from the point of view or the perspective of a Buddha. Whereas in the Sakya system, the presentation of the path is mainly in terms of the spiritual experience of a yogi on the path. And the presentations in the Geluk system are mainly from the point of view of the perspective of ordinary sentient beings.
So did those some don't say Nanka yours?
This seems to be an important thing to contemplate. Through it, you can get over a lot of misunderstanding.
In
Tsongkhapa's writings, he raises many qualms and investigates them and eliminates them with respect to the mode of perception of a Buddha. It went into a lot of analysis with respect to how a Buddha sees the various types of phenomena, these being classed in two types, pure and impure. Then, as an imprint of As an imprint of having put emphasis on the path, during the time of the path, having put emphasis on both the wind and the mind, at Buddhahood, one has a... in the mode, with respect to the mode of achieving Buddhahood, one develops a pure illusory body that is together with the mind of clear light. So that's one mode of achieving Buddhahood. Now I mentioned earlier a system that emphasizes just the mind. And thus, as an imprint of this, in dependence upon in the Kala Chakra system, in dependence upon achieving a union of an empty form,
empty body,
a body of empty form and immutable bliss, the independence upon a union of a body which is empty form and immutable bliss, at Buddhahood, one then achieves, well, that is the way in which one achieves Buddhahood.
Then another one, third one, that is
Then there is a third way of achieving Buddhahood, and this is by way of a rainbow body. This is the uncommon mode of procedure of the mother tantras. And then in the Nyingma system of the great completeness, in dependence upon bringing to completion the four appearances, all of the coarse factors of one's body are consumed, and much as in the system of achieving Buddhahood by way of the rainbow body, one achieves the Buddhahood of... Oh yes, the body of the great transference of rainbow body. So that's the finish of the 3-day course. If you put this together with the teachings that I gave at Harvard and at Melbourne, you'll probably find that something that's absent here is present there, something that was absent there is present here, some sort of complete teaching. So now tomorrow I'll be speaking about the great completeness. Tomorrow I'm not going to do it in the academic aspect, but in that of actual religious practice in conjunction with the bestowal of a blessing. The blessing is called the blessing of release upon placement. It'll be understood tomorrow.
Chene, ta kasa, di chokha di kya nga ben zhe shi.
The ritual itself was written by the fifth Dalai Lama.
Kwang thana, thaknang shingwe, thakwa nao.
In out of pure appearance.
Ta jene, di shukhtali ya,
And then I'll give a short explanatory transmission of the of a text by Tsa Bedro Rinpoche on Dzogchen. The blessing. The transmission that I have with respect to the blessing is from Dr. Rinpoche.
When I was very young in Tibet.
And then the Nyingma text, the three words thrusting one into the meaning, I received from the great Nyingma Lama, Dingo Kinze Rinpoche. Among you, of course, there are many different predispositions, interests, and so forth. Those who have interest, you're welcome to come. Those who don't, you can stay happily.
Thank you. See you again tomorrow.